arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Our candle is lit. Remember, the light of Christ is in you, and nothing can take that away. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ, you beloved community. So grateful for your presence today. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at this church, and so grateful to do so. I know that we have a lot of our friends and family members out of town today, and we miss them for sure, but you are here. You are the faithful ones, so thank you for that. I know quite a few of you are watching online too. Thanks for your presence that way. If you are our guests, hello. We are so glad that you are here this morning. Thank you for your presence, of course. We'll take a moment and maybe fill out some of these cards that you see up on the screen, the yellow ones for some encouragement to folks, the blue ones to let us know that you're here, and those pink ones up there, heart response cards. You can fill those out as a celebration, a prayer request, and our shepherding team will receive those and pray over you for that. Well, for the next 5 weeks, I'd like to share with you briefly where we are heading. We are heading into the Hebrew songbook with a series that we are calling Wilderness Hymns, Psalms for Lent. We'll talk more about that during my sermon in a little while, but for now, just a quick look ahead of where we're going. We are touching on Psalm 32 today, which Dorian will read in a few minutes. Next week, I'll preach on Psalm 121. On March 12th, Virgil Fry will be here, and he will preach on Psalm 95. I'll be back for March 19th and preach Psalm 23. We'll finish up with Psalm 130 on March 26th. The Sunday after that is Palm Sunday / Passion Sunday, and then followed by Easter, and then it's Christmas. Christmas will be here before we know it, I promise you. Here we go. I'm looking forward to this formational series with you, as the Psalms become a companion for us during our Lenten season. Also, about this time, we typically do our call to worship. It's usually the Psalms that we do. We're going to flip the script a little bit. It's going to be our gospel reading, which will be our call to worship through this Lenten season. And to do that, Brent is going to come and read from Matthew chapter 4, and then two songs that follow. Let's be standing as he reads and for these songs.
From the book of Matthew, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Let us sing. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Let's be seated.
Each week through Lent, we will pray a collective prayer of confession. We'll do one per week. We'll do six of them, six different ones leading up to Easter. We'll have two slides here. I will read the parts in white. Would you please join me for the parts in yellow? Most merciful God, whose Son Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, yet without sin, we confess before you that we have sinned. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Restore us such love and trust that we may walk in your ways and delight in doing your will. Amen.
O sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thine only crown, how art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn? How dost that visage languish, which once was bright as a morn? What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee.
Good morning. We'll be reading Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from the trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
All right, our young friends can move to the back table if you would like. Miss Brandy and Ellery are heading that direction, as are you. And so thank you for your presence, as always. While they go, let's pray together, please. O God, you are our God, and earnestly this morning we do seek you. Would you pour forth to me now the gift of preaching? Would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see? For it's because of Christ we pray. Amen. I once read that there are only two moments that matter. One is when you know that your one and only life is absolutely valuable and alive. The other is when you know that your life as presently lived is entirely pointless and empty. You need both of them to keep you going in the right direction. Lent is about both. Such a paragraph reminds me why I have a like-dislike relationship with Lent. The first half of the both, that I am absolutely valuable and alive. That gives me joy and energy, connecting me to God who is my source and my ground. I like that. My identity above anything anyone else or even myself might try to put on me is that I am beloved by God, as are you. When I told Jason last week at his baptism that he is fully loved, I meant it. That he is beloved by God, that he is absolutely valued and alive in God. When I told baby Lizzie last week that she is fully loved, that she is absolutely valued and alive in God, I meant that too. During Lent, we follow Jesus, who is our way. And in the course of things, he will teach us as we go all about worth and flourishing. But Lent also has somewhat of a darker side. Lent's job is that of a herald, as an announcer, the one that annually breaks it to us that our lives as presently lived are entirely pointless and empty. I dislike that. Entirely empty and pointless, in my mind, are akin to meaninglessness. And if meaninglessness defines our existence as a human race, then how could we not tumble head over foot into gloomy holes of depression and joyless states of being? For the rest of our days, we might as well read nothing but Ecclesiastes, that patron saint of melancholy. Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, the author begins, blaring those pesky foghorns in churches and on street corners. Not a person you would want to invite to your birthday party. Without meaning, without purpose, what we may once have thought fairly strong in us comes crashing down. And you can see how that might very easily spiral you into a sort of destructiveness that could easily be expressed inwardly toward yourself, outwardly toward others, or both. The saving grace in that sentence up there, for now, is the phrase, as presently lived. Know that your life, as presently lived, is entirely pointless and empty. Therein lies some hope that our lives are not forever entirely pointless and empty, But the as presently lived part seems to suggest that we have got some soul searching to do. Depending on your temperament and your faith background, soul searching can take on different shapes. Soul searching for some means going back to the Bible or going back to church, reading certain scriptures, praying, talking to your minister, talking to a friend, meeting with a therapist, journaling, developing new passions, participating in spiritual practices, all potential positive things. Lent's soul-searching shape, if you can call it that, holds potential too, but in an Exodus kind of way, looping and long, leaving you looking for the closest off-ramp. Lent's space is a vast wilderness where food is sporadic and water sources are scarce. Spiritually speaking, wilderness is that trip to the unforgiving desert you've been told you do not want to make. Out there is loneliness and quiet. Out there, faith withers under the noonday sun. Out there is danger, especially at night, when haunts and wild dogs will aim for your heart. If it's a soul you are searching for, surely it will be like finding a needle in a haystack. So great and mapless is that terrain, as many of you know all too well. In the spiritual wilderness, you are more likely to be enticed with at least three temptations to do things your own way. In the wilderness, you are likely to have to face your own demons who will not fight fair. I can promise you that. Unless you are a glutton for those things, no one really wants to do business with God out in the wilderness, which is just about the only space left where you can rely no longer on yourself. But then, Lent does not force anyone to go. You can choose to stay inside where it's safer, where fabulous fountains faithfully flow freely at the touch of a button. You can choose not to go. That's what most people, Christians included, do. Maybe Joe Sandifer or Becky Isaac can tell me differently, but I have never seen a Lent greeting card stocked on a grocery store shelf. Nor has anyone, yet, sent me a card wishing me a blessed and uncomfortable Lenten season. To be fair, I haven't sent anybody else one either, so I probably can't complain. Not that I am complaining. I have seen Valentine's Day cards, of course, and I've seen Easter cards, but nothing about Lent, even though it sits squarely on the calendar between the two. Last week at the grocery store, I came across this scene, a table full of Easter candy. Glorious Reese's peanut butter eggs, so good. And just around the corner, discounted Valentine's Day candy. Glorious Reese's peanut butter hearts, yum. You know what's missing though, don't you? Where's the Lenten peanut butter cup? Why doesn't it have one? We know why. We know why. We know the reason Lent is not a national holiday, and it's due primarily to Lent's eternal mantra, from dust you are, and to dust you shall return. I'm not sure who would want to see that inscribed, a glossy card addressed to them, followed by a "Love, Steve." Thank you. It doesn't help the American economy that ash is the symbol for Lent. That's because ash, when smudged across the forehead, represents death. The ash epitomizes your fragility. It signifies your impermanence, placed there by the hands of someone else who is just as impermanent as you. And even though you cannot see it unless you stand in front of a mirror, other people certainly can. For better or worse, you vividly remind everyone of their mortality. Some of them stare. Some of them turn their eyes quickly, but either way, you bear witness to death. Unless you are a funeral home director, it's hard to bank money off of any of that. I wrote a bulk of this sermon on Wednesday afternoon inside one of my favorite coffee shops, and one man on his way to the UPS next door had definitely been to church that day, the cross on his head easy to spot. I could not help but watch all the 4 seconds that it took for him to enter and exit my line of vision. What a humbling sight. Last year, I led my first and so far only Ash Wednesday service. Don't worry if you don't remember it. There were only 15 or so of us there, which quite honestly was about 14 more people than I expected. After Brent sang a few solos, O Sacred Head Now Wounded being one of them, I preached a short sermon, and then the gathered few came forward. I dipped my forefinger into the metal bowl of ash, the charred remains of the prior year's palm branches from Palm Sunday. One by one, I sketched a cross right above their foreheads. Right above their eyebrows, I mean. I looked at them and I said, "From dust you are, and to dust you shall return." None of it was enjoyable, of course. Doing this to people I knew and loved, but I was mostly just fine until at about person 8 or 9 in line, my 10-year-old daughter was standing directly in front of me. At that point, I wished for any other profession in the world except the one that I've got. Let me hear you say, "From dust you are, and to dust you shall return," to your child whom you love and are well pleased. I was done after that, even though I still had 10 more minutes of Ash Wednesday service to officiate. But after I had marked everyone, I think it was Jessica Vaughn, who came back up to the front, ash already on her forehead, and she put some on mine, smearing the charcoal powder over what my dermatologist kindly calls expression lines. Because Chelsea was working that night, she could not come. So Cora made sure I brought home the metal bowl, and she, as part of the priesthood of all believers, performed the Ash Wednesday service right there in our kitchen, proudly wiping soot on her mom's forehead. "From dust you are, and to dust you shall return, Mommy." It's all very humbling, and somehow beautiful. But the ash is not just about death. It's about sin, which is about as unpleasant to talk about as death. Sin, which is a death in its own right, is more than merely personal disobedience, an individual person doing a wrong thing. Sin is not just a list of activities to abstain from. Viewed through a wider angle lens, sin is living out of sync with God. It's treasuring illusions over reality. It's a breaking of God's desired shalom or wholeness for all of creation. The consequences of all that, we all feel. From our own hands, from the hands of others, and from the weight of the sin's force that reverberates around the world. If the consequences of no shalom produce a sort of raw pain in your heart and your mind and your gut, that means that you are ready for Lent's message of repentance. Repentance is a recognition that something is wrong, that the way that things are is not the way that things should be. It's an honest admission that I am in some way part of the problem, that I have been complicit to sin. Repentance is a pointing out of how pointless and empty it is to make your very small self the centerpiece. It's an honest admission that we are a people who keep choosing life for some but not for all. Repentance is an assertion that we as a people have done things which we ought not to have done, and that we as a people have left undone those things which we ought to have done. Repentance, therefore, is a turning around, no longer charting a course with sin's death sentence direction, but facing it head on. To repent is considerably more than an intellectual movement of the mind where you remain accountable to no one but yourself. Repentance is repair work. Repentance is restoration. It is renewal. For what is most important here is not penalty or punishment, but relationship made whole with yourself, with your neighbor, with the world, and especially with God. Lent, in its wilding wilderness, may put you through a self-reflective spin cycle, but it also releases you. It frees you. There are only two moments that matter. One is when you know that your one and only life is absolutely valuable and alive. The other is when you know that your life, as presently lived, is entirely pointless and empty. You need both of them to keep you going in the right direction. Lent is about both. Our psalm, which I finally get around to, has actually been our guide all along. It's the perfect psalm to begin our Lenten journey together. Look at the absolute value and aliveness with which the poet writes. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Lent pronounces blessings you cannot find anywhere else. Look also about how life, as presently lived, can be entirely pointless and empty. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Lent reveals futility. It uncovers sin. It leads to confession. These are the sort of things we are more capable of hearing in the Lenten wilderness when we are not carrying as much and when distractions are fewer. Out here, we can discover that acknowledging both our aliveness and our emptiness keeps us going in the right direction. That's because God, who is life and who is love, promises to be with us our entire journey to the cross on the other side. You, God, you are my hiding place. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. You will surround me, what a great phrase, you will surround me with songs of deliverance. God in Christ, who always goes with us, will also go before us, will lead us, will guide our steps. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye upon you. As long as that is the case, even during Lent, with sin and death making its rounds, we can rejoice in the Lord and be glad. And we can sing for joy, for God and God alone is making us upright in heart. And together we can say or we can type, Amen. During Lent, we will have opportunities after the sermon to have some prayer partners at the back of the auditorium. If you want to share something with them, if you want to confess, if you just want to be silent with them and they pray over you, that is okay. We'll have opportunities for that prayer several times during Lent. So I think I have Dee and Brian. Y'all can head over to this, actually kind of right in front of the sound booth. I think Martha and Larry over here behind the Hensons. If you would like to go to one of them and have them pray over you, you can do that as we stand and sing these next two songs together.
Our wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, for take all my guilt away. Let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my failing heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. When life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. Let's be seated.
In Lent, during Lent, we bring our whole selves, not our half-selves, not our divided selves, as if we can hide anything from God. We are invited to bring our whole selves to this table also. Christ, you can be sure, meets us there with bread, which is his body, and cup, which is his blood. At the table and in his presence, we can bring ourselves and be ourselves. We can eat and drink in gratitude for the one who always leads the way. Let's pray together, and then after I pray, if some of you would like to help serve the congregation at large, just come forward at that time. Oh God, we do give you thanks indeed for Christ who leads the way. And throughout this meandering journey throughout Lent, would you give us eyes to see him wherever he may go, wherever he may lead us, even to the cross. Give us courage to do that. We give you thanks for the bread, which is his body, the cup, which is his blood, given both for the sake of the world. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's also give today. You can give your offering, your tithe, your contribution through the plate that Glenn and Larry are going to walk around with. You can give online. You can bring it to the office. You can hand it to me. And as always, thank you for that. Let's pray together, please. I do give you thanks, O God, for the people who sit in this room with me today. Thank you for those who give, thank you for those who choose not to give, thank you for those who can't. And would you receive all of these today and wrap them up in Christ. Through what is given, we pray that, as always, your kingdom would come in this area just as it is in heaven. For it's through Christ that we pray. Amen. All right, several items for family matters to share with you. We've been talking about feeding or serving food to the Impact Church. This will be on March 19th. We'll need some folks to help prepare lunches and then serve them at Impact. We will talk more about that in the weeks to come, but that is under a month now, so more details to come on that. Sunny Glen is coming before Impact, and here's the items they need. Fabric softener, toilet paper, juice boxes, and white gravy. All that can be put in some of the barrels, the boxes, just off of the lobby. March 14th is when they come. Steve Sanifer talked about this last week, the fundraising events for the Point Ministries on the campus of the University of Houston. And that is March 6th, or March 7th, I believe, and Steve Sanifer is your contact on that. Thursday Bible class continues 10:30 this Thursday, both in person and on Zoom. King can connect you either way. And the Wednesday night prayer meeting continues to go on. If you would like to be part of that, you can talk to either Mercy or Larry. We have classes all over our building in just a moment, and we sure hope that you stick around, be a part of one of these smaller groups. And here they are up on the screen. You can choose one of those classes for our younger, for our older, and everything in between. All right. Thanks for being here today, friends. Appreciate you. Would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction? This is part of Psalm 32, which Dorian read earlier. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. May it be so. Go forth in peace and purpose.